You're listening to the Unceded Airwaves Morning Show, hosted by Lisa and Josh, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Good morning.
All right.
Welcome here, Lisa.
Welcome. We're on the air. We made it here for the 6 a.m. start time.
Oh, yes. This is an early one.
You just heard Zibiwan. That was one of our favorite songs here at Unceded Airwaves. That was Manitou.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good song. Yeah. Didn't think that we were going to open with that one, but you know what? Sometimes when you get here about 20 minutes before you're supposed to go to air, sometimes you just have to make decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a pretty good way to... It's a good morning song.
It's a good morning song.
We are kicking off the 24 hours of student power on CITR this day.
Which means we have a full day of student broadcasting. That is talk radio, live music. There's going to be interviews, games, radio documentaries. And they trusted us with the first time slot.
We are setting the tone. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing some of what comes out. I think some clubs who do not normally have a radio presence are going to be on the radio.
Such
as? Interesting. I see the Psychedelic Club is on there.
They must have a show.
I don't know. I'm interested to hear.
Do you listen to our station?
I've never heard the Psychedelic Club.
Okay, well, you're going to have to tune in. They're on at 7 a.m.? Is that what time?
10 a.m.
Ah, 10 a.m.
The prime time for... for psychedelic clubs.
Psychedelic music.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we got here. We took the spot, not really thinking about the logistics of getting to UBC at 6 in the morning. Well, we had to be here before 6 in the morning to get on the air.
Yeah. It's a good thing you asked if I needed a ride, because that was when I checked if there were any buses running. And there actually aren't.
Which there is not.
So it all worked out.
Yeah. And so I ended up picking you up in an Evo car. And that was a pretty hilarious experience. I've never actually driven in Vancouver before 6 a.m. The streets are completely bare. You can drive as speed limit-y as you want. I'm not going to say speeding, but we were driving pretty fast to CBC Radio 2 on the way here. And yeah, it was great.
I like the morning. I wish I was open awake for it more often.
How many alarms did you set this morning?
I think seven.
Across two devices.
One of them was accidentally for 3:30 in the morning, which I can't really recommend.
Why did what prompted you to do that?
To set seven alarms or to set one for 3 in the morning?
Set one for 3 in the morning.
It was an accident.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Was it supposed to be like 3 p.m. or?
No, it was supposed to be 4:30.
Oh, 4:30, I see.
That was a little more reasonable, I think.
What time did you go to bed last night?
I can't remember. Probably 10-ish.
10-ish?
Which is actually pretty normal for me. I'm an old man, trapped in a young man's body, I guess. But I tend to go to bed pretty early. And then this morning, I thought I was not going to have enough time to do anything. I was considering pre-frying an egg last night so that I did not have to take the time this morning and that I would not be late. But turns out if you set an alarm for 3:30 in the morning, you got plenty of time. You have plenty of time to do all your stuff. I could shave this morning. It was great.
Did you actually get up at 3:30?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You got up and then you're like, this is ridiculous. I'm not leaving my house for another 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure out it was 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, I see.
So don't worry about it.
That's pretty hilarious. So you made the fried egg sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The thought of having one of those kept me up at night a little bit. Usually that's like my weekend thing. I'm going to have a fried egg sandwich. So I was excited.
You're just so excited for that fried egg
like
sandwich.
Like a kid on Christmas night. But yeah.
Oh my God. That's so awesome. I woke up, on the other hand, at 4:20. And then I hit snooze till 4:30. And then I hit snooze until 4:35. And then I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. I got to get some coffee in me. So out the door by 5, picked up the car, the Evo, and... picked you up along the way, and yeah, it's been pretty sweet driving around in the morning. No cars on the road.
That's a pretty good turnaround time, though, getting up at 4:30 And then being out the door at 5?
Yeah, I haven't done good turnaround time.
Yeah.
I haven't done a morning show in quite a while. And so I had it down to a science where I would just give myself enough time to get to the station. So I like to sleep. But yeah, so we're doing 24 hours of student power here. That's kind of exciting. And I'm glad that we got, well, I don't know if I'm glad, but we do have the morning spot.
It's a good way to start the day.
It's all downhill from here. It's all downhill.
For me. Not for the 24 hours of student power. It's going to be great.
Yeah, this is like the peak of my attention span right now. And then the rest of the day, I'm just going to be, you know, I only have one class during the day, so I don't really need to think all that hard. But yeah, today it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. We have some interesting show topics to discuss today. We're going to talk about Indigenous resource governance and decolonizing water, which is a project that I'm working on. We're also thinking about talking more about the protests that happened earlier this week, peaceful versus angry protests, and how that can be perceived more broadly. I feel like on Unceded Airwaves this week, we didn't have enough time to talk about the Women's March. And, you know, there's a whole lot of different ways that you can take that conversation. So we're going to maybe chat about that a little bit later on in the show and some current events coming up. I know Bev Sellers did something interesting.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. She staked a claim for mineral exploration on the BC Minister of Energy and Mining's house.
Bill Bennett.
So Bev Sellers, noted author and the former chief of, I'm going to mispronounce the First Nations name, but Hatzol, I want to say. So she's a firm advocate for Indigenous, you know, self-determination in the energy process and all that, and doing responsible mining and that sort of thing. So she, in her own way of protest, I think it's like a kind of a nice offbeat way of showing your criticism for something, showing how easy it is to get a certificate and an actual official claim for mining exploration. She just put one on the minister's house.
That's a great form of protest.
It really is. And it's we're talking about it.
Yep.
So clearly it's working somehow.
Yeah, totally. It's getting some airtime.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's 6:10 a.m. and we're here for the hour. We're just here till 7 a.m. Thanks for tuning in with us this morning. You're listening to, I don't know if this is an Unceded Airwaves show.
Well, we can have an off-brand Unceded Mornings.
Unceded Mornings. This is the Unceded Morning Show. I'm just like really glad that we're here. And actually, I forgot. We were going to talk about that funny waking up app that you had.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have it anymore. Now I have a flip phone. But
You used to have like a
smart device.
A smart device, yes.
In which you could download an application.
Okay.
Which would connect you via an alarm which you set to a person somewhere in the world who would then call you at the time arranged by the app, and then they would be your wake-up call.
So you would literally get a wake-up call? What was this app called?
It was called Wakey.
Wakey.
I don't know if it exists anymore because I feel like the potential for abuse is maybe a little too high for comfort's sake.
So you'd have someone literally on the phone calling you saying, hey, get out of bed.
Hey, get out of bed. Usually, my experience with it was very positive. And people telling you to have a nice day. A lot of UK accents, I guess, I noticed, because maybe the time difference meant that I'm waking up when they're thinking, I'm going to call somebody to wake them up. Or I suppose.
It's like their lunch break and they're just like, oh, I'm just going to call a random person across the world.
Yeah. So I had a positive experience.
Did you call anyone?
I remember at like Christmas time, my family came up, my family was all gathered around, and then my aunt called somebody. that was fun. But
just to wake them up?
Yeah.
That's a good Christmas tradition. Just call a stranger. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see how that one goes in the future.
That's awesome. So it's called Wakey. It's a waking up app.
Yeah, check that out if it still exists.
I just tried Googling it and it just came up with some slang.
Hmm. Is that
actually it's still a thing, I think.
Oh.
Wakey, keep your screen on. Android apps on Google Play.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you wanted to that out.
If you want to open up your home to the strangers to call you.
Just give your number out. It's not your number. It probably would go through like Skype or something.
It goes through like a Wi-Fi sort of service. So I'm not advocating the app. It's just kind of funny, I think.
I love that you tried it out.
Yeah.
Of all the things that you could have tried out for apps, you were like, I'm going to try out this really weird one where someone's going to call me at odd hours.
It was a weird point in my life, I think.
Okay. I think we're getting too silly here. I've obviously not had enough sleep, so maybe we should play a song.
Yeah, delirium is setting in.
This is a song that I found on Spotify. Not Spotify. Spotify. I keep getting Spotify and Songza mixed up, but Songza isn't a thing anymore. It's something else. Anywho, I found this on Spotify. This is Morningsider's Little Boy. This is the Audio Tree live version.
Don't sing your song to the little boy, no, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money, all that is on, all that is on, honey. Gotta go find more. Don't sing your song to the little boy, no, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money, all that is on, all that is on, honey. Gotta go find more. I could have been a singer, but it wasn't for me. Sat down with a pretty girl, tried to tell her exactly what I thought she wanna hear, but she didn't wanna hear from me. Said you don't got money, all that is on, all that is on, honey. Gotta go find more. All that soul, honey, gotta go find more. Don't sing your song too loud, little boy, no, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money. All that soul, honey, gotta go find more. Don't sing your song too loud, little boy, no, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money. All that soul, honey, gotta go find more. I could have been a singer, but it wasn't my choice. Couldn't keep a rhythm, couldn't find my voice. And when I tried out for the church choir, and they down said to me, said you don't got money. All that is on, honey, gotta go find more. Don't got money. All that is on, honey, gotta go find more. Don't sing your song too loud, little boy, no, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money. All that is on, honey, gotta go find more. Don't sing your song too loud, little boy, no, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money. All that is on, honey, gotta go find more. You can't make no music. You don't make no money. You can't make no music. You don't make no money, no, no. You can't make no music. Better go make dough. Can't make up. Better go make money. I don't like the soul, honey. Gotta go find more. Don't sing your song too loud, little boy. No, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money. All that soul, honey. Gotta go find more. Don't sing your song too loud, little boy. No, no. Don't let your feelings show. Don't got money. All that soul, honey. Gotta go find more.
This is audio.
You are the flame. I was the rain to wash away. Well, I was a slave under your arms. I broke the chains of my heart. You went away and left me. The endless part.
Coyote Blues by the Red and Blues on CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Mornings is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. And before that, you heard the song Little Boy, which is the Audio Tree live version. That was by the Morning Siders. My name's Lisa Gerbov.
I'm Josh Kiyoki.
And this is the Unceded Morning Show.
Oh, yes. It's an offshoot brand. From Unceded Airwaves.
An offshoot brand.
Yep. Usually running Mondays at 11. So if you're just tuning in this morning and you like what you hear, we're on Mondays at 11.
Mondays at 11, yes.
But we are here as a special part of the 24-hour student, 24 hours of student power on CITR. We're kicking it off this morning. And this is an annual broadcasting event. Students are going to be on the air all day, being powerful with their voices, I guess, is the idea.
So we're really showcasing what a UBC education can really get for you.
I guess. Yeah. So what is, and it got me thinking, what is student power and all that? I didn't really settle on a definition by any stretch. I just kind of was thinking about the privilege inherent of being a student. I don't know about you, but students, when they get together can often be a real voice for positive change, I think.
Totally. And like, you have a lot of like student activism that happens at post-secondary educations, that kind of thing.
It is. I think the time of being a student is often when people come and reach a critical consciousness, maybe. You want to put like a fancy sounding term to it, but you know, it's where
put that education to use.
Yeah, so people are developing, they're learning about the world, And they're learning about what role they might have to play in it. And I think maybe that's what student power is, but I'm not sure. There are a lot of people at this school, so it's hard to put their power all in the same bucket, I guess.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so I don't know. I'm thinking about lately a lot about why I chose my degree.
Why did you choose your degree? What are you studying, first of all?
So I my first degree was in Indigenous Studies here. So I got a BA.
Did you use it?
I did. Indigenous Research Methodologies, like qualitative research, was mostly what that degree entails, and the theoretical underpinnings of a lot of that, and decolonization and all that sort of thing. And you're taking that now.
Yeah. So how did you apply that degree?
Well, I got a job afterwards, after school, with Canada World Youth, supervising an Aboriginal exchange program between Tanzania and Canada. So, applying it in the sense that I was leading an intercultural group, in Indigenous communities in Canada and a Tanzanian community. So, figuring out all the ways in which power applies in those situations, trying to figure out what the right way to lead in an intercultural group was. So that was interesting. It was very challenging, for sure.
I can imagine.
So after that, I decided to switch to sciences. So right now, what I'm doing is kind of looking into more environmental science sort of things. I think with the eventual goal of focusing on water quality assessments and making that an accessible thing, not just kind of a something that costs a lot of money to do. Water quality, it's very important. It's very timely.
Mm-hmm. Often First Nations are tasked with that themselves because maybe levels of government aren't supporting them in those initiatives, and so that's really important, actually.
Yeah,
so good for you.
Well, I mean, I haven't done anything yet.
Well, good for you for trying to attain that goal on your journey.
That is my big goal. What is your big goal?
What is my big goal? Yeah. What do I want to be when I grow up?
What is your student power goal?
What is my student power goal? Well, like when I graduated high school, I didn't go back to school right away because I was kind of like a ratty teenager. It's kind of bad. I wasn't really a good student in high school, and so took a couple years off. And then my dad randomly told me about a scholarship that he had heard on the radio for broadcasting. And so that's how I kind of fell into broadcasting. I did 2 years at BCIT. I worked as a radio announcer for Bell Media for a couple of years and for an independent radio station called CFNR, which is a First Nations radio station out of Terrace, but it broadcasts across the Northwest. But I realized that even though I had this diploma in broadcasting and I had the technical skills to work in broadcasting, I didn't really have the theoretical knowledge or basically the critical thinking skills that you would get from an undergraduate degree. And I felt like something was missing in my everyday performance, that I was talking about social issues and I was speaking to a wide audience, but I didn't really know what the repercussions were of what I was saying or kind of like what the underlying issues were that were deeper than just kind of surface level current events. So after a couple of years working as a radio announcer, I was like, this is crazy. I need to actually go back to school. And so I decided to go back to school just for the purpose of learning. That was my main goal. Was I just wanted to go back and learn, and I didn't even care about getting an undergraduate degree. So I went to UVic for 2 years, and then halfway through my second year, I was like, I can't get the degree that I want. And so it went from just wanting to go to learn to wanting to finish my undergraduate degree. I ended up doing 2 years at UVic, which was awesome. It was a great experience. I love that university, and then transferred here to do the First Nations and Indigenous Studies program. Which is a very long-winded way to say that I'm in school forever.
It's a good enough place to be.
Yeah,
that is an interesting way to approach going to school to like to because most people like start with school and then they go into a career. You've been in a career, and you're looking to educate yourself in order to do that better.
Yeah, to further my career.
That's pretty great.
Also, when I was a teenager, I didn't even think I was going to have a career. I thought I was going to be like, I don't know, working as a server. And well, I guess that is a career for some people who are like really good at it. But I was never good at serving. So I just assumed that was going to be like my backup. I was just going to, you know, work in the service industry. And then all of a sudden I just like ended up in broadcasting. I don't know how. Like all three of my brothers work in trades. My dad works in trades. My mom works in early childhood education. And so broadcasting was kind of like veering a little bit off. I don't know how I ended up doing this, but I decided to go back to university so that I could make intelligent radio, which I don't know if, judging by this morning show, that's what we're doing, but we're having fun at it.
You know, intelligence comes in many forms.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's what student power is all about, but maybe not. Anyway,
maybe not.
Anyway, so what have you been up to this past week or so?
Oh, this past week. Well, Friday, I actually got out of the city on Friday, which was pretty exciting.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, I went to Gambier Island. Do you know where that is?
I don't.
So it's about a 20-minute ferry ride west of Horseshoe Bay. And I went there for the partner meeting of this UBC grant project called Decolonizing Water, which is like basically what had happened was there was a bunch of academics on a boat headed out to the woods on a coastal island, which was pretty fun.
That actually sounds really great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was great. We ended up going across on the water taxi, but we left from the port of Vancouver, which was like, I don't know, it's kind of like hard to get in there and it's hard to get out. Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of across the Heatley overpass. Anyway, we took a water taxi from there and it took like an hour and a half maybe. So a little bit more of a scenic boat ride than 20 minutes, but yeah, that was awesome. The waves were like really choppy too. So as we were going across, there's like waves splashing up onto the boat. And everyone's just like in there just chatting. And like me and Mel, another research assistant, we're in the front. We're just like watching this all happen. It was like, oh, it was so cool. It's so cool to be on a boat again. I don't know. I'm from Prince Rupert. And so boats are kind of a necessity of life. But down here, like I don't get on a boat as much as I'd like to. So yeah, it was pretty cool. But when we got there, basically it's like this team of maybe like 20 or more people, and they're divided up into different groups to basically what they're trying to do is create a long-term self-sustaining water and ecological monitoring program. So kind of like what you want to do. And what they want to do is like enhance protection of water resources and assist in indigenous water governance, which I think that's a good pairing.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, and this project is about 7 years long, and I think we're in the second, maybe going into the third year. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a prototype of an Indigenous-led community-based water monitoring initiative that's, of course, rooted in Indigenous law and water governance, which is important because of all those water-intensive resource extractive industries that are happening, especially up in, like, northeastern BC. Yeah, I think that's kind of where the focus is right now for this project, but I could see it being applicable, I mean, beyond that. So, you know, like resource extractive industries like LNG, oil, mining. I think even forestry has some water use to some extent. I mean, they're all pretty labor intensive and resource intensive.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's a pretty cool project. When we got there, Glenn Coulthard, have you had him as a prof?
I have had him as a prof. He's real great.
Yeah, he got us to play this game where each person says their name and a funny story when going around in a circle. So I don't know where he came up with that game, but it was just like hilarious trying to like remember everyone's names and like their little like bit of information.
What was your story?
Mine was, I said, my name is Lisa Gerbov. I make radio Indigenous, like as in I make radio to be Indigenous, right. But people were like messing it up all the way. They're like, oh, Lisa from Indigenous Radio or Lisa from Radio Indigenous. It's like, that's not a bad name for a show.
Radio Indigenous?
Radio Indigenous.
Could be all right.
It could be a good radio show. Yeah, but there's so many cool people on this team. Caleb Bain, who is H.O. Dene and Dene Cree from the Treaty 8 Territory. You made the film Fractured Land. I don't know if you've seen that film.
I have not.
Oh, it's a good one. John Burroughs, who's Anishinaabe, is an Indigenous law scholar from the Otter Clan. John Burroughs is a part of the team. And have you ever read any of John Burroughs' stuff? It always starts with a story.
I feel like maybe I haven't, but maybe I should have. In that, maybe that's a reading I missed way back.
Man, those are like the best readings because it's like, and like law readings are awesome too because it's like you have like a 20-page article to read, but most of it is footnotes. It's like half the page is footnotes, and so it's like you go from 20 pages down to 10, and then half of that is an awesome story that John Burroughs is applying to the law system. I don't know. John Burroughs, you got to check him out. Dr. Amy Kraft from the National Research Center for Truth and Reconciliation. Glenn Coulthard, like I mentioned, who's Yellowknives Dene and wrote the book Red Skin, White Masks, Rejecting the Colonial Politics of Recognition back in 2014. Such a dense book.
I'm about halfway through it.
When did you start?
The beginning of semester. So in September sometime.
That's not bad.
It's been slow going.
Yeah.
But I come back to it every now and again.
Just ticking away?
Just ticking away. I don't know how much I can tell you about it right now, but it's a book I need to, like, focus on, which has been hard because I've been trying to focus on, I guess, my school, which is more science-y these days.
Yeah, so fair enough.
It is difficult.
So that's your fun reading.
Yeah, I've. It's hard to switch to that. Fun reading for me is usually a novel.
Yeah, same.
But the theory is pretty good. I like what he's putting down. So,
Dr. Michelle Daigle, who is a member of the Cree Nation, Constance Lake First Nation, working in the geography department at UBC, is also on the team. There's quite a few other people as well. It's just like a big team of people from like all over, I think all over Turtle Island, because there were a few people from the United States who came up. It was just a really cool day to spend out on Gambier Island. What I think is like really interesting, I don't know, have you applied methods to any of your work yet?
Not really?
Well, kind of what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a community-based research model that's collaborative, action-oriented, and something that's engaging in sustainable relationships with First Nations people. It's very interdisciplinary and it's Indigenous-led, which I think is why this grant project is such a big deal. I think that's what caught people's eyes. And they also practice the OCAP protocols for working for Indigenous communities, which is ownership, control, access, and possession. And so I think, I just think that that's really interesting because right now I'm taking FNIS 320, which is like the methodologies course. And we literally just learned about that last week. And so to apply it to a real life situation, working with Indigenous communities is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. So the day on Gambier Island, what was the... I don't want to say purpose, but what was that all about? What was the visit to the island?
Basically, what was happening was they were getting the team together to create steps moving forward with the research.
Okay.
So this type of research has five different teams. I'm part of the knowledge translation team. There's like a policy innovation team, and there's like a few different ones. And so it's basically bringing all these teams together to develop plans to implement moving forward and creating kind of policies to put in place before actually going into communities and approaching them with some of the ideas that they're trying to implement, such as these long-term self-sustaining water and ecological monitoring programs. So, it was just like kind of like the preliminary steps before actually going into communities, which I think is important because sometimes when people are doing research, they just rush into communities. They say, hey, I have this idea. This is what I want to do for you. And they don't take the time necessarily to really think about how they're approaching First Nations or how First Nations people are being incorporated into the research as partners.
It often seems very, very get in, get out kind of research, as opposed to having a long, sustained respectful relationship with the community.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, this sounds very interesting. I think that's, like, something to look out for, especially for, you know, me personally. This is, like, kind of what I would see my science focus leaning towards.
This is your jam.
This is my jam. So maybe I should have been on Gambier Island.
Are you saying that you should have replaced me over there? Or?
Oh, no, I just, like, tagged along.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, that was not the implication.
Okay. So it's 6:38. We have about another 20 minutes here.
All right.
And what are we going to be talking about next?
We're going to be talking about...
after the song.
Very, very timely. We're going to be talking about protesting. It's been happening a lot lately. And maybe will happen a lot in the near future as well. I'm not sure. But we're just going to talk a bit about maybe... peaceful protests as well as less peaceful ones or how that distinction gets made in the media.
Yeah.
And just talk about the right to protest and the privilege of whose voices get heard, I think is what we'll be discussing a little bit.
Excellent. So we're going to play a song that's Blue Moon Marquee, Gypsy Blues. I don't know if we're too early for this one, but we're going to play it anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Gypsy Blues by Blue Moon Marquee from their album Gypsy Blues, which is a half Métis group, I believe, a duo.
Half Métis?
Well, I mean, one of them is Métis, and they're a duo. So,
that's just a funny way to phrase it.
Yeah. I don't know how terminology applies to more than one person.
Yes, fair enough. Okay.
Anyway,
now Gypsy Blues. Yeah, yes, that's a good song.
That is the important part.
A little bit chill for this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. So what we wanted to talk about next, it's 6:44. We got about 15 minutes left with you for this 24 hours of student power on Unceded Mornings with Josh and Lisa. We wanted to talk a bit about something we didn't get to talk about on the show this week, which was this idea of peaceful versus angry protests.
And the way I would think about it would be that maybe all protest is angry.
Well, you got to be motivated to do something.
Yes. So protests happen because people are incensed about something, and maybe incensed is no longer the right word with what is happening. I mean, historic levels of demonstration in the States these past few days, the Women's March on Washington.
Which was really a global event.
Yeah, which is kind of, you would not expect other countries to protest the election of another one, but that is what has happened. I think the unique
state politics are funny.
The unique position of the United States probably has a lot to do with that, and that they're supposed to be a global leader in many things. But now the new president is making some unpopular decisions via executive order. So that we thought about talking about protest.
Yeah, and one thing that Carly Baker, who is an Indigenous collective member here at Unceded Airways, brought up when we were talking about this on Monday was how emotion can be perceived as violence. And so when people get really emotional about something that they care about, even if it's like in conversation, say you're just really passionate about a particular viewpoint, or you just are very passionate about something that you disagree with in conversation with someone else, that can itself be perceived as violence.
I totally agree.
Are we just like hypersensitive to that? Has that always been that way?
I think in the Western tradition, if you wanna get to that, the emphasis is on very logical, cool-headed arguments as being for the good of all. That's how democracy works. People get in a room and they reach consensus by talking to each other civilly. And of course, who decides what's civil and what's logical and what's cool-headed? It's usually those that it serves. So.
Fair point.
Because there's less to be outraged about when you're
the one in power.
When you're the one in power, so there's a gap there in terms of how you should be able to make your point without resorting to emotional outrage or something, or a less than peaceful protest, I guess.
I feel like as human beings, though, how do you actually remove emotion from anything? Because everything you do is somewhat emotionally driven. I mean, mm-hmm. we're logical, but we're also emotional. Even logical decisions are motivated by emotions. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that you can have a protest or a demonstration that isn't emotional in some way or form. I mean, like even the March on Washington, that's something that was meant to really get women's rights and issues to the forefront. But in the Vancouver March on Washington, there were voices that were excluded, which were the Black Lives Matter groups in Vancouver. And there were issues about accessibility for people who may have mobility issues or who are unable to attend these things. Like there were a lot of voices that were erased. So even something that, you know, it's a demonstration and people can get behind that, you know, even though you can get behind it, there's still things that will poke you that are emotionally driven, you know?
Yeah.
There are certain things that will just, you know, not sit right with people. So I think it's important. I think it's important to challenge the narrative of peaceful versus angry protests. I mean,
yeah, and the all protest is going to be disruption in some way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not much of a protest. You're just on Twitter at that point.
Which is another form of protest.
Which can be. It like definitely helps spread the news. But I think the thing about, I don't want to like just say that because there were millions of people involved, that the Women's March on Washington was free of problems. But getting people out there on like actually disrupting the thing that you're upset about is important. And the tendency to want to unify under like a common message maybe gets to some of the exclusion that happens. Oh, we're all marching for women. Why do we have to hear from Black Lives Matters? Maybe what organizers might think.
Or like even the term woman, who does that exclude?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think protest and what you're protesting can be fought on a number of different grounds. Like, it's not just the civil disobedience. I think, like a couple days ago, the Federal Court of Appeal rejected a couple of First Nations had a legal challenge against the Site C Dam project. So, Federal Court of Appeal denied that. So they're that thing's still ongoing. People are working on issues on a lot of different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And protest is just one of those things that's, maybe not last resort, but
it's just like one part of it.
It's one part of the work of many people, some of which are seen as more legitimate.
Although I think that there are different ways of protesting that we have seen recently that are starting to work, I don't know if that's the right way of phrasing it, but like there are different ways of protesting that are showing up. For instance, the Standing Rock Lakota Sioux tribe, who rooted their occupation in prayer, and that worked out for them under the Obama administration.
Yeah.
For them, just demonstrating and showing where they stood on this particular issue was based in prayer, which isn't something that you see at all protests. Like there, I didn't see a lot of prayer in the Women's March, for instance.
Right.
So I think there are different ways that you can demonstrate that can be. I think that is like one of the most. I think that's probably like the most recent prayerful protest that I've seen. I haven't seen a whole lot that have taken that route anyway.
Yeah.
I have seen quite a few different like occupation camps. There's the Leelu Island Warriors from my territory. There's the Maddie Lee camp, the Unist'ot'en, and the Wet'suwet'en territory. So there are different ways of occupying and demonstrating and protesting against things that those in power are trying to push through. Which I think they're being effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are many ways to protest, and I think the way that it's represented is often where you get into the idea is this the right way to protest?
And then on the flip side of that, there's a recent there's something that recently happened.
Punching Nazis.
Richard Spencer from the alt-right movement was doing an interview, and a protester came up and just clocked him.
It right in the Nazi face, I guess. That event has sparked debate.
A lot of debate, which I feel like probably shouldn't be debated.
I don't know. It gets into the point where people are saying, "Oh, if your stance is legitimate, you don't need to punch somebody to make it." Kind of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear some tweets here. There's been some confusion as of late, says skin covered coffee on Twitter. So I decided to make a thing. Can I punch Nazis? This person made canipunchnazis.com, which is just a GIF of that happening, and it says yes.
I like that website. I wonder how many hits that site has.
I don't know. It's not a very good website, but I mean, in terms of its development,
in terms of its effectiveness, I've seen it all over Facebook.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. We also have one from Aaron's Cafe, which was out on, this tweet was from January 20th. If you're having a conversation about whether or not it's okay to punch a Nazi, you're having the wrong conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
It's very fair. So, I don't know. The ways to do, I think I've reiterated this several times, but anyway, there are many ways to make a point. If your protest doesn't make somebody uncomfortable, and I'm not advocating like violence or anything, but if protests make people uncomfortable, that's when they're effective.
Yeah.
When they disrupt the established order. So.
Which is necessary.
Yeah. So
there's just different ways of going about it.
Yeah.
And then also we had Bev Sellers, our hero of the day.
Yeah. Who just to show how ludicrous the BC mining application process is, staked a claim on the BC energy and mining minister's house.
Bill Bennett.
Bill Bennett's now she could do exploration for minerals
underneath
his house. Which is great. I appreciate that. There's many ways to go about it.
Yeah, see that's kind of a peaceful protest. I mean unless
she goes into his house.
She goes into his house, into his like basement, into the crawl space.
But
trying to like find things under minerals and such.
Exactly. But then that's legitimate. Yeah, and that's what she's trying to get at, is that people do this to indigenous territory all the time.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I just love that story.
Yeah.
I'll post it on our Twitter page at Unseated Airwaves and also on Facebook. That's Facebook worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Share that on there for you to check out. It's 6:55 though, and we're running out of time today. It's been a good morning show, I think.
It has been pretty good.
I feel like I've laughed way too much. I told you yesterday that today I wasn't going to laugh on air, and probably like the 4 hours of sleep that I got last night has lended to that.
It makes everything funnier.
It makes everything a lot funnier. I probably sound a lot sillier. I swear, I went to school to make intelligent radio, and here I am.
We've been here for an hour, and the sun is still not up. So
I know.
So maybe now's not the time for... For a serious, well, it's not
questioning life decisions.
Sure. No, it's a good time to laugh.
Yeah.
Start the day with some laughter.
Fair enough.
Some tunes.
All right. So what song should we play to get out of here? Any requests?
Any requests from me? I'm not very musically inclined.
Fair enough.
Anything that makes you think, I'm glad I'm awake this morning.
What about Tanya Tagak?
That'll do.
Is that what you were thinking?
Yep.
Well, this is a good song. This is Retribution by Tanya Tagak. Thanks for tuning in with us today on Unseated Mornings with Josh and Lisa. We've been your hosts for the first hour of 24 hours of student power. We are broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Stay tuned all day today because you're not going to want to miss some of this student power coming up at 10 a.m.
The UBC Psychedelic Club. I'm going to tune in for that.
Yes.
It'll be great.
Maybe just like hang out here at the station, see what's happening.
We'll see what happens. We will see what happens.
Okay, we're gonna end off the show with Tanya Tagak and Retribution.
Our mother grows angry. Souls for that paper, that gold.
Money has spent us, left us in small boxes, dark rooms, bright screens, empty tombs, left investing our time in hollow philosophies to placate the fear of our bodies returning back into our mother. A demand awakening from the path we have taken as we brought it. Ignite, stand upright, and conduct yourself like lightning, because the retribution will be swift.